Welcome to the Jazz Shapers podcast from Mishkon Dorea. What you're about to hear was originally broadcast on Jazz FM. However, the music has been cut due to rights issues.
This is Jazz Shapers with Elliot Moss on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkon Dorea. It's business, but it's personal. Listening colour.
Welcome to the brand spanking new season of Jazz Shapers here in 2025 with me, Elliot Moss. It is brilliant to be back. Jazz Shapers is where I bring you the pioneers, the risk takers and the problem solvers shaping the business world, together, of course, with the phenomenal musicians shaping the worlds of jazz, soul and blues. My guest today, kicking off the season in fine health, is Scott Harrison, founder of the fitness program, The Six Pack Revolution. An entrepreneur since his 20s, it was while running his double glazing company in 2015 that Scott saw the need for change. Picking up his kids from school, Scott noticed he and the other parents looked bloated, tired and unhealthy, and he made a New Year's resolution to achieve a six-pack in 90 days, with 36 Facebook friends asking to join the challenge. The success, Scott lost 2 stone and 6 inches from his waist, drove 19 of those friends to similarly impressive results and overcame his long-term bulimia. And it led to requests for more programs. The six-pack revolution was born. Scott sold his double glazing company and gained personal trainer and psychology qualifications as his initial experiment evolved quickly into a structured online coaching program, now 75 days rather than 90, focused on balanced nutrition, mental well-being, and supportive community interaction. They've now reached tens of thousands of participants in 90 countries, with Scott also creating his own brand of protein smoothies and penning 2 cookbooks in his sleep by the looks of things and 2 children's books. And it's brilliant to have you here. Thank you
for having me.
Absolute pleasure. You're so healthy and you look happy. The eyes say to me that Scott is a relaxed man who is at peace with his inner self. Is that true?
Well, I have my moments like everybody, of course. And just having Christmas and New Year, probably not as healthy as I will be in about 3-4 weeks' time. But at the ripe old age of 51, I'm doing all right.
You look very well.
Thank you.
Do you think this is what you were born to do, Scott?
Yes. Yeah, I look at all the stuff that's gone on in my life, the good, the bad, and the indifferent, and I feel like it was all to bring me to this place where I can sit on this platform and, you know, really help as many people as I possibly can across the world. And it's very rewarding.
Is that the thing? Is it the help?
Yeah. Especially now I've been in this industry for a long time, a saturated industry as well, if you think about it. And to be able to find this unique place that I've found in this world of fitness, nutrition and mindset has shown me that there's a lot of people in trouble out there that really need to work on living instead of just existing. And I found a way to do that quite effectively in a very short time, and I'm proud of it.
Just give me the pitch. If I came up to you and said, hello, Scott, what is the six-pack revolution when it's at home? What would you say if you only had 10 seconds?
It's an online fitness, nutrition and personal development program that changes your relationship with food, with drink and with yourself.
And just taking those one by one, food and drink and yourself, for you, where have your journeys started as it relates to food? Because I mentioned bulimia. I know as a kid there were some issues. Drink, I know you have your own relationship with alcohol. I want to talk about that. And everything else. Just give me a little sense of where you think all that began and how it's all eventually come together.
Well, let's go way back with the bulimia, first of all. That kind of started in school. I was quite badly bullied in school and to the point of where I was urinated on, and that's quite a dark place to be there.
How old were you, Scott?
About 13, 12, 13. And I wore glasses before that. In primary school, about the age of 7, I got glasses, which showed a weakness back in, way back, 40-odd years now.
Late 70s. You're younger than me.
Yeah, like 80, 81-ish, okay. About there was when I got my glasses. And yeah. And I think it portrayed a weakness, you know, for kids to pick on. You know, they choose anything these days, or then even back then it was the same. And also because my dad was a bully, I think I'd been programmed, because I've spoke to psychologists and stuff now. I was when you're from the age of 0 to 5 is when you're mostly programmed. So when my dad was quite a bully to my mum and myself, I was too small to, there's 3 reactions, fight, flight or freeze. So I couldn't fight. I'm a couple of years old, 2, 3, 4 years old. I couldn't flight, run, because I can't leave the house. I'm a baby. So the only option my brain had was to freeze. And apparently that's when I was programmed, wired, so that's when it happened to me later, I would freeze and I wouldn't do anything about it. And then that stuck with me forever. And around that age is when I started making myself sick. And apparently that is a control thing, that something I could control and so on. And that stayed with me for over 30 years. You know, I would go into all-you-can-eat buffet or even on holiday, I'd eat, be sick. My wife would know because I'd come out with eyes watering, but it's an awkward conversation to have. She'd sometimes have the conversation with me and sometimes not. And it was 30-odd years of that. And also from that bullying, I would have this recurring dream where I would be crouched down in a bush at the end of this lad's road with a hammer. And as he would come out and walk past me, I still didn't get out of the bush. So I was still weak in the dream as well. And then he came up on my Facebook feed once as someone you may know, and my heart went up through my throat like I was 13 again. And I just looked at him with his family and I thought, crikey, you know, he's probably never given me a second thought. And from what I've achieved since then, I mean, I've a black belt karate instructor, I boxed at the York Hall, I won fight of the night at the York Hall. I sit there and think like, oh, would I want to bring him into the ring and see how good he is now? And I don't even think I'd do that.
No. It strikes me that a lot of what goes on in the six-pack revolution is about change. It's about people's relationship with change. It's about taking all the stuff that has, quote-unquote, happened to them and that they feel and going, do I want that? Do I want to do something else? Do I want to feel something else? You were talking very openly about the bullying and about the fact that you created a physically strong persona. You talked about you went through the martial arts thing and all that. When did the change happen mentally for you, where you said, hold on a minute, I was bullied. I've obviously been controlling my food and bulimia as a part of that. I don't want to do that anymore. When was that, Scott? And how did you get to that point of going, thanks very much, I'm going to manage this differently?
Well, the bulimia only stopped when I started the six-pack revolution. Because when I started to nourish my body and my focus was on that rather than anything else. And your mind is a part of that body too, right? So when you eat, everyone's always puts it to their body, as in their abs or their heart and lungs or their legs or strength, but they forget about the mind. And the reason that most people are riddled with anxiety and struggle with even having a balanced state of mind is because they don't eat properly. And that's why we can't handle stress and anxiety and pressure and grief. And if we eat properly, we balance our body, we balance our hormones, we balance our chemical, we build a machine that works at its optimum. And when I started to do that, I didn't feel the urge to purge anymore. I slept better. I loved what I saw in the mirror. I loved myself. So the saying you are what you eat, there is no truer phrase.
But on top of that, and maybe one thing leads to the other. When people are suffering with anxiety, or I suffer from a period of depression or a period of stress, whatever you want to call it, food is one thing, but there must be processes and tools which, again, you've had to learn that have enabled you to also navigate those times of high tension.
Well, exercise, of course, is one of the most amazing antidepressants on the planet, and it's free. And everyone should really be exercising into their 90s and beyond every single week, you know, and that's for your mind, but also for your joints, your muscle tone, your posture. It's a massive investment in your future. You know, every time you switch sitting down, scrolling through Facebook for even if it's just a walk or a workout, you're adding to your pension pot of life. And when you build all these things together, the mind follows, the body follows, the confidence comes, the health comes, the vitality comes, the strength comes, the empowerment comes, and you just really do change overnight. And then if you can then now have this balanced state of mind, you can look at what you've done in your life. You can look at the obstacles that you've faced, and no one gets away with life without obstacles. And you can see how it's molded you. And if you use them for good and you look at life from the correct perspective, then you can even enjoy the obstacles as they come.
And those obstacles, and I think I've read this about you, you kind of see them as your friends because they have created then the next version of Scott, the next version of the person. Going from one business to another, obviously, people often listen, they go, wow, how did that person do that? Of course, it didn't start with this business. Your experience of having other businesses, of taking risk, that's all contributed to this. Just tell me about a couple of obstacles which you go, without those obstacles, Elliot, I would not be where I am now.
Well, I was a trader in the city for 9 years in the 90s, the good old days. And so I was regularly taking risks all the time, like every second sometimes. So I think I grew my confidence in risk-taking way back then, in my younger years, actually. And I've never been afraid to do that ever since. I'm invested in myself. I'm a believer in that the quickest way to fail is to not even try, you know. And again, using all the things that I've been up against and I've overcome for a positive rather than allowing it to dictate my fate negatively is really the thing that's, I think, created this man who can now look at everything objectively. Look, it's good walking along the beach and playing with the kids. It's good sitting in a jacuzzi drinking champagne. It's fun. We should do it as often as we can, but we learn nothing of that. We just sit still. You only learn when things need to be overcome. And the harder the fight, the more euphoric the win. If we use my boxing analogy, when I still box now. If I was to go into the ring and hit one punch and he's out and everyone's screaming my name, Scotty, and I'm up on the ring and I'm loving every minute of it. Or I go in and we fight like a dog for two rounds and he knocks me down. I get back up, just the bell goes in time to give me time to recover and we come out again. And then all of a sudden, halfway through, I break my wrist and I'm now fighting with one arm and I catch him and he gets knocked out in the eighth. And which was the best fight for me out of the two? It certainly wasn't the first one, right? That other one will live with me forever. The first one I'll forget about.
Yeah.
And if you apply that to every area of your life, you know, marriages and friendships and hobbies and work and business, yeah, the obstacles are there to strengthen you, not weaken you.
You don't want an easy life, I know it. Stay with me for much more from my guest, Scott Harrison, in a couple of minutes, and much more wisdom as well.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondareya. It's business, but it's personal.
You can enjoy all our former Business Shapers, as you well know, on the Jazz Shapers podcast, and you can hear this very program again if you put the words Jazz and Shapers into your favorite podcast platform. My guest today is Scott Harrison, founder of the fitness program The Six Pack Revolution, which has attracted a lot of attention from famous people, Scott.
It has.
That's useful to you, I imagine.
Very useful to me. It's allowed me to organically grow the program. And as you said before, we have tens of thousands of participants every year now in 90 countries. It's gone across the whole world, even to Zambia, can you believe? I'll sit there, how do we get someone from Zambia? So Ryland, Sarah Cox, Peter Andre, Carol Vorderman, Alex Scott, Sarah Davies from Dragon's Den, who's lovely. She's helped me a lot in business, actually. I ring her, she answers every time. Mm-hmm. Just ring her. She calls me boss because she's done the program a few times. She calls me boss, which is quite funny. And half the cast of In the Line of Duty and Coronation Street and Towie. And
what are they all buying into? You know, there are, as you said, it's a very crowded market of get fit, change your life and all that. What would you say are the one or two reasons why the six-pack revolution is actually making a difference and why so many people are buying into it?
Because we feed and nourish you to fat loss. We don't starve and malnourish you to it. And that's a big difference. I do not focus on calories, which freaks a lot of people out because all you'll see on social media is calories in, calories out. That's all that matters. Get your calories down and you're going to lose fat. But they're forgetting that is a gazilly fraction. It's my own word, by the way. How the human body works. That's the tiniest bit.
Yeah.
The body needs a certain amount of things to thrive. And if you feed the body how it should be fed, which is a balanced plate of food, balanced throughout the day with plenty of hydration, you build a machine that works at its optimum. When it works at its optimum, it burns fuel efficiently, which is fat. But it also maintains and builds muscle, your hair, your skin, the whites of your eyes, your teeth and your nails all become more radiant. The anxiety disappears, the sleep comes, the strength comes. I keep saying the same words, but
yeah.
And people, when they see someone who's done the six-pack revolution, they go, oh my God, what have you done? And not just the visual transformation, they can feel them. Mm. And that's the difference. And that is why I think that it's spread like coronavirus across the world, because you can't, if you see someone who's done six-pack and you knew them before, you immediately become infected with it.
And the mental side, again, we talked about that earlier, and this, a lot of your own life has been about these obstacles. Not all mental, but a lot of them. What are the two or three things that you're able to share around these tools that you've referenced? What would help me if I wake up, or I'm waking up really early, I'm waking up at 4 a.m, and it's happening again and again and again because I'm catastrophizing about stuff at work, theoretically, of course, Scott.
Okay. So what the biggest mistake people make is that they constantly focus on what they don't want. They give all their energy to what they don't want. And that might be focusing on weighing themselves every day. It might be focusing on, oh, what's going to happen when I get to work, like you just said. But what is that? You're focusing on the future. It don't even exist, right? The future does not exist. It's only your imagination. So if you're going to imagine your future, surely you would imagine the best future for yourself, would you not?
Try to.
But we don't, right? We constantly focus on, oh, what if the worst thing in the world's going to happen to me? How many times has the things that have happened to you turned out to be the best things that happened to you when you thought they were going to be the worst things that happened to you? Yeah, so your fear of what's coming, when you was a kid, all you had was this great, like, I'm going to be this, I'm going to do that. There was none of this real fear. When did that change?
So let me ask you a question. You've done fantastically. You're now moving forwards really well. The business is growing. Well-known people are buying into it. I'm sure there are many more steps to scale this business up and all that. What happens when you wake up and you feel the fear? What happens when you start to doubt yourself? Because you're human.
I am.
And that must happen.
It does.
What's the one thing you say to yourself in those moments? I'm sure it's a process, but just briefly.
I actually say this out loud, and I preach this to my participants, and if I'm on stage doing a talk or a motivational speech or something, I actually say this. This is not, I'm not just saying it. I'll say it out loud, and I actually step to one side and look at myself as if I left myself on the left, and I say, Scotty, forwards or backwards? And then I step back to the left, and I turn around to Scotty on the right, and I say, well, forwards, of course. So now I'm laughing at myself because of what I've done. So straight away, I've lifted. I've shared the problem with my two of me, and I go, well, if we carry on with this mentality, are we going to move forwards? And I go back to the other side and go, no. So we got to stop that then, right? Right. I literally have that conversation. I've even got out of the car before when I'm thinking in the car like that and sat on my bonnet and had a chat to myself on my bonnet. I've done that. And it makes me laugh as well, which is great. Laughter's one of the best things.
Let's hope no one's watching you doing it.
It's true.
Your own in the
I've
car.
Actually done it.
I would tell them he's not mad. It's Scott Harrison, and he's my business shaper today, and he's the founder of the Six Pack Revolution.
But look, how many of the things, right, in your life have you that you've worried about, tossed and turned about, you haven't ate properly, you haven't slept properly,
doesn't
butterflies
happen.
In your tummy?
Doesn't
how
happen.
Many of those have come true to the extent that you were worrying when they happened?
Yeah.
And all of your listeners should be saying zero. And it's not that bad things don't happen, but we amplify them in our mind and create monsters that are bigger than they need to be. So what I try and do is trivialize everything, even death. Just I try and trivialize everything, because then if it's smaller, I can get over it.
Hmm.
And we always get it wrong, because we know that we get it wrong if we keep worrying about something that doesn't exist. It's true.
The business itself, now as it's grown, what have you learnt from a business point of view in the last few years? Because suddenly things are taking off. What have been the levers of growth for you, do you think? What's working, apart from the actual thing itself?
Ever since I left school, I've always over-delivered. So it's been very natural for me to carry on doing that. So when you over-deliver, I think you grow quicker. And I think that's really helped. So it's really great value program. I'm going to say that, obviously. But for the price of less than half a Costa coffee a day, to deliver a nutrition plan that works, an exciting fitness plan that works, exciting mindset training that's life-changing, and support that's live all day, every day. You ask a question, it's answered in minutes.
And how do you manage that, by the way? Is that humans or is that a bit of technology?
Human. Okay. It's all human. Right. And every single person that works on the Six-Pack Revolution comes from the program, comes from being a participant, the accountant, the website, everything, the admin, the coaches. I've got like over 180 people that work for me.
So in the parlance, the mission-led people make a major difference, part one, to the growth. What about technology? Is that important in the way that you harness it to grow this thing globally?
You won't believe how well we've done with such little infrastructure, if you like, because I have no office apart from my own office at home, which is just like anyone's home office. I have no building. I have no overheads. I have everything's online, and everyone that works for Six-Pack works from their PC or their phone. I can run this business on the beach if I wanted to.
And if you wanted to get to every single human in the UK, if the NHS was to turn around today and say, Scott, we've got a plan. We need to stop spending all the money on fixing problems. We need to get ahead of it. And we need to have healthy humans in the UK. Would you be able to just do that? Or would that take huge amounts of investment in terms of delivering that to millions of people?
Yeah, to millions, that would be hard. To if you think about it, because we are live humans all day, every day, to flip that the next day would be very difficult. They would have to grow in stages like it has now. Sure. I mean, I can treble, maybe quadruple where I am right this minute, today. I could do that. I've got that infrastructure. But it would need some reworking.
Yeah, rewiring.
To do something like millions overnight. It would be a nice problem to have, but I'd have to maybe change the structure of it a little bit.
But an exciting problem.
But we've just brought in our new app, which is going to take a lot of pressure off us. So that's being B-tested right this minute in our January wave. We took a few groups out. So by March, we should be everyone's on the app then, and we do a lot less work. So therefore, that's much easier to grow then as well. So the it's all in there, but we're growing at the speed, a speed that's really fast anyway.
Stay with me for my final chat with Scott Harrison. And we've got some music from Emma Jean Thackeray. That's in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondareya. It's business, but it's personal.
Scott Harrison is my business shaper. Before I met you, I thought, wow, this is going to be a tough guy. I mean, physically, because, you know, you ask people to do things with their body, and, you know, you get them to be disciplined and all that. And, of course, there is that. I mean, I look at you and you're a healthy guy. But obviously there's a sense of, and you talk about it a lot, it's, you know, the 8-round fight, not the 2-round fight. It's the obstacles that, you know, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. It's that, yes. It's that kind of stuff. Do you think of yourself as a tough person, or is it quite the opposite?
Oh, that's a good question. I feel like I'm tough for other people. I feel like for myself, sometimes, depends what you mean by tough. So I think it's very strange over my life. When someone's kind of attacked me, whether that's verbally or whatever way, I feel like I struggle with it. But if someone attacked you, my new friend, I'd deal with that for you. It's a real strange...
What's that about, Scott?
I have no idea. It's probably back to that bullying thing.
Yeah.
Well, if it's aimed at me, I freeze a little bit.
The reason I ask the question is because I'm kind of going, he wants people to love themselves. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
That's the help. But actually, there's a bit of doubt in Scott's head still about whether he really loves himself. And I know that sounds a little bit heavy.
Some would not agree with you, but you're probably
but
right.
I don't mean look at my body. Because when you said before, you know,
right. You've spotted it, I think. Yeah. There is something there that I constantly probably look for validation a lot.
Yeah.
And I fight for it well. And I get it because I go for it. And I help everybody I possibly can, you know. And I get beautiful messages from people, you know, saying to me, I had a card sent to me. I mean, who writes cards anymore? And the lady said, Scott, I don't know how to thank you for giving my children their mummy back. Mm. And when you get stuff
that's
like that...
That's a big
deal. Yeah, and that made me lift.
But are you kind to yourself, Scott?
Yes, I am better at it now. I do try my best to look back and realise how well I've done. But I still feel like I constantly want to push for more, but not more as in like constant finance, more like that type of, but more enrichment. And it's probably, if I sit down and think about it, I think you're right. What I think you're asking me behind the eyes there is that, you know, sometimes it's enough and I don't need to constantly push for more. I need to, otherwise I'm going to miss it.
When is enough enough? Yeah. As someone once said to me.
Yeah. Well, I think Jimmy Carr said, I've got something more than you've got. And he went, what's that? And it's enough. I've got enough.
And I think that, yeah, because I think the thirst for learning, the thirst for helping, the thirst for grafting, you're obviously a grafter. Mm-hmm. None of this, like, people I meet, I'm very privileged. I don't meet anyone who isn't prepared to put in the hours. It's all that. But yeah, it feels like there's one little question which maybe many people have built like this. You need to say, what have I got? I know when enough is enough.
Yeah,
listen, you don't stop doing stuff. But it just occurred to me, I think in there is that that's the only one thing. It's you. And yeah. I think, you know, you're a special guy and you've created something really brilliant.
Thank
you so much for spending time with me. Just before
thank
I let you disappear to go and do more amazing things, what's your song choice and why have you chosen it?
So my song choice is Betty Swan, Then You Can Tell Me Goodbye. Let's go back to business. Behind every good man, there's an amazing woman. And my wife, I'm very privileged that we've been together 18 years and it still feels like year one. I still get excited to drive through the gates to the house to see her every time I leave the house. And that song, well, you all listen to it and you'll see how cool it is.
Then You Can Tell Me Goodbye, from Betty Swan, the song choice of my business shaper today, Scott Harrison. He talked about his obstacles and the way that they had strengthened him in his journey through life. He talked about the confidence he built in taking risks, absolutely critical to being an entrepreneur. And two really good bits of advice. Don't focus on what you don't want. Think about that. And finally, the future does not exist. In other words, don't worry about what might happen. It almost definitely won't. Focus on the day. That's it from me and Jazz Shapers. Have a lovely weekend.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mish Kondorea. It's business, but it's personal.
We hope you enjoy that edition of Jazz Shapers. You'll find hundreds more guests available for you to listen to in our archive. To find out more, just search Jazz Shapers in iTunes or your favourite podcast platform, or head over to mishcon.com/jazzshapers.